Hi everyone and welcome to Jakama Radio. My name's Alahi and I'm your host today. Today is going to be the next instalment of our Voices of Jakama series, where we're speaking to some of our adept practitioners about their previous spiritual experiences and what led them to Jakama. So today I'm delighted to be joined by Yahel.
Thanks Alahi for having me on the show.
So Yahel, maybe you could start by just telling us a little bit about your background. Where are you from?
So I come from India, from the country of gurus. And since I was young, I would see all these seers and sadhus going around and they didn't have anything to worry about and they didn't have any belongings. They didn't even know when the next meal would come from. But still, they were really happy and this perplexed me, like how, without even having anything, they were so content and how would I get that happiness?
Yeah, it's really interesting that somebody like you from India has found their way into Jakama, although we do have practitioners from all over the world. As you say, coming from the land of gurus and one of the biggest centers of spirituality in the whole world. So I'm interested to find out a little bit more about what led you to Jakama. So what was your childhood like? Were your family religious as you were growing up?
I was born into a Sikh family, but none of my father or mother were too religious. My father would go to the Sikh temple every day, but it was just like going there, listening to the kirtan and then coming back. And my mother would recite the Sikh book in the house, but that was about it. There was no spirituality or something in my household. So it wasn't like too strictly religious.
So what was it then that led you to start your search? This interest that you had in sadhus and in gurus, did this lead you to find a particular teacher or mentor that initially got you started on the path?
Yes, it did. So one of my father's friend was a guru and I went to him and I told him that I'm really interested in spirituality. I didn't even know what spirituality was at that time. So I asked him, I'm interested in what you are doing and I want to learn that. And he was happy that I was interested and he gave me a few mantras to chant. I felt really good about them. It was really peaceful. It gave me a lot of confidence and it also gave me a lot of energy. So that made me chant the mantras every day. It really brought me contentment.
How long did you continue with this particular teacher?
So I continued for around 4 to 5 years and then I heard a little bit weird things about the guru and so I stopped following him, that he would take money from his clients and then say that he would do some things for them but he wouldn't do that. So that made me wonder, why is he doing that if he is religious or spiritual? Why is he interested in money and or worldly desires? So I tried to distance from him and eventually I isolated myself from him.
So what was your next step then? Did you carry on searching? Did you find another teacher or guru?
No, I didn't really find any guru, but I was reading spiritual books. Then I went to college and completely immersed myself into studies and spirituality took a back step. But then later on, again, the question still kept popping up, like, what am I doing here? And what is the goal of all this? And why are we doing the same things again and again? And this led me to searching for gurus, but every guru I searched, there was some issues with them, maybe some press news or some fraud and all the things. So I couldn't find a genuine guru. But then when Facebook came, I went online and I started searching for teachers and teachings. And then I found the Kingdom Within. That's how I got introduced to Daishi.
So what was it in particular that drew you towards Daishi's teachings?
When I initially started reading Daishi's posts, I was amazed at the knowledge Daishi had. He was able to speak in so many different traditions like Buddhism, Zen, Taoism, Zohar, and Gnostic. And it appealed so much to me that one person could have so much knowledge. And if you asked him a question on the post or on a private message, he would respond to it in detail. And he was very interested in what your opinion was and what your interest was and even advised me to have some Skype calls with him so that he could understand me better. And I was like, wow, why would anybody would do that? And he's not even asking me any money for it. And so it kind of gave me a feeling like that he's genuine and he's not after money. And he's really interested in bringing somebody up in the spiritual path.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Ihal. I mean, I have to say actually that my story is fairly similar. I first discovered Daishi and what would become the Jokarma teachings on Facebook. And I had exactly the same impression. And in fact, I remember kind of hanging around in one of the Facebook groups for a while and thinking, wow, actually, he knows some stuff. I had some personal issues going on at the time and I sent a private message to Daishi. And I got this amazing, incredible response. And I thought, wow, you know, not only does this person, you know, have a lot of knowledge, but they actually care. And I could just feel the compassion radiating from the message that I received. Really interesting that you had a very similar experience.
Yes. And the other thing that I think that fascinated me the most was that in India, everybody, like the gurus, wanted to be so popular. And in Daishi's case, he didn't even share his original photograph or his picture. So I was like, wow, he's not even after fame.
Yeah, I can completely relate to that. Yeah, 100% agree with you. So have you had any really important spiritual experiences that you feel have really been a pivotal turning point in your life at all?
I had attended a 10-day retreat in India. It was the Vipassana retreat. And in that, you have to stay there and you don't have to speak to anybody. Even while eating food, you have to look at the wall. So there's like minimal interaction with anybody. And then you have to sit in meditation for like 8 to 9 hours. And then there are a little discourse in the beginning. So that was like a very good experience for me. And I remember after coming back from that retreat, even when anybody would speak in a normal voice, it sounded to me like as if they were screaming, and I would ask them to please lower down their voice. So, and I could feel a lot of energy going around in my spine and on my back. So that was, I think, for the first time I could feel energy or that kind of experience. So I think that's one of the experiences that I still cherish.
It sounds like that made things more kind of concrete and real for you.
Yeah, it was like before that I was only reading the books or maybe listening to somebody else. But at that time, I could feel it on my body and I could feel that, yeah, these things are possible. And it's not just fairy tales. If you do your sadhana, you can get these things. So that was like awakening. You can say that these things are possible and they do exist.
Since you've joined Jokarma, what have your experiences been like since you've been a member of the group?
So after joining Jokarma, I had so many experiences, starting from being lucid in my dreams, to having lots of energy, to having these movements in my body. And I remember my first retreat in Vienna, where I could feel Shakti in my body, and it was like a lot of Shakti. And so that was my first experience where I could see me and my fellow Sangha members feeling the Shakti. And that was like an eye-opener. And whatever I would have seen or heard or read before, it really blew me out. And when I saw that, it was unbelievable. It was like out of this world. The most transformational experience in my life.
Yes, and I was actually at that retreat too, and I remember it well. And yeah, it was just incredible to see so many of our members experiencing such incredible energy. And I know that that retreat certainly left me with a completely new perspective on the path and on Jokarma and on Daishi. So I definitely relate to that. So in terms of the Jokarma teachings, do you feel like that they've had an impact on your life in general?
I think the biggest impact that they had on my life was that we have to get rid of our old habits. So prior to coming to Jokarma, I was very impulsive. Anybody would say anything, I would just flare up and I would either become upset or become angry. But like after listening to Daishi and going through the practices, it has made me calm down a lot. And whenever somebody now says something to me or maybe I see something, it doesn't bother me that much because of his teaching and the realization that everything is temporary and this too shall pass. And so it's just a momentary phase where if you can just understand what's going on and don't react, those old habits die out and that could lead me to a new transformed me. So I think that's one of the biggest changes that I've seen in myself.
That's really, really beautiful and great to hear. And I can also relate a lot to that in terms of the way that it changed my outlook and my ability to, you know, stay present and stay out of all the nonsense that the mind loves to create. Now, I know for me that one of the things that I really love about Jokarma is the amazing group that we have here, our Sangha. Do you feel like that's been a big part of it for you too?
I remember the first time when I met the Sangha at the retreat. The first time when I saw them, it was like I knew them forever, and they also accepted me like as one of their own. And so that was a really great feeling. And I remember Daishi saying that every one of us are same and we think the same thoughts and we have the same things going on in our head. So when I interacted with the Sangha, I realized that what he was saying was right. And we were from different parts of the world, but we all had the same thoughts or the same fears. So it made me realize that, yeah, it doesn't matter like where you're from. And that's what makes the path special, that you don't have to be a certain race or certain creed. This path is for everybody. And whoever goes into this path with persistence, he'll be able to make it. So working with the Sangha, it really helped me realize that. And the other thing about Sangha was that there's so many things about spirituality which you cannot share with other members who are not in the same path. But when you are with the Sangha, you can easily talk to them and you can open your heart and they'll completely understand what you feel and what you're going through, because they would have also gone through the same things, or they would have felt the same in certain part of their life. And the other thing that I realized was the egregore. If somebody has achieved something, it's like, okay, this is achievable. If he can do it, then I can do it as well. So the strength of the Sangha helps everybody in the path and take them higher.
Yeah, and I can really relate to that. You know, the path can be a very lonely place. You know, when you're trying to work on all of these issues and not get caught up in mind and, you know, try and take a step back from the outer world, your own emotions and thoughts, and yet you're still in the world, you know, maybe living with people or, you know, your friends, your family, everybody is still very much in the world. And it can be a very lonely place when you're trying to take that little step back. And actually going back to what Daishi spoke about on one of the recent podcasts, that, you know, in the Sangha, there can be much more authentic communication. You know, you're in such a group of supportive people, and there's the understanding that we are all still growing and evolving and working on ourselves, and that sometimes we make mistakes in our interactions with one another. We make mistakes in maybe the way that we address one another or treat one another. And there's just this air of forgiveness and understanding that that's okay, that we're all growing and learning and trying to get better.
Yes, I completely agree. Also, I remember there were so many situations where the Sangha helped each other, maybe financially or just being supportive of somebody in a situation and praying for them. So there were so many ways where the Sangha could help the other family members. That really moves me about Sangha.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we've just about run out of time for today's show, but thank you, Yahel, so much for joining us. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show to talk to us about your experiences.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you. I hope these experiences are helpful to somebody who's listening out there and helps him to get on the path.
Thank you, Yahel. Thank you. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please email us at radio@drukama.com. That's drukama.com. You can also find us in all the usual places on social media. Just search for Drukama Teachings. The transcript for this show is also available on drukama.com. If you're interested in finding out more about Drukama Teachings, please do come and visit us at drukama.com. We are opening the whole site up for a limited free trial period, so you can actually come into the site, come into the forums and speak to us. Find out what's on offer, have a look at the teachings. We'd love to have you as a member of our family. Thanks very much for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you on the next show.